Let's talk to Brad Holmes, general manager of the Detroit Lions. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Can you ask a general manager who his favorite pick was, or is that like asking a parent who their favorite kid is?
That is probably asking a parent who their favorite kid was. I do love all of them. I'll give you this, though. Probably the most the pick that was the most questioned, I would say, was Isaac Tesla. I can say that he was my favorite wide receiver in this draft. I'm not saying he was the best wide receiver in the draft, but favorite wide receiver in the draft, yes.
So you traded up for Tate Ratledge, and you traded up, obviously, for Isaac Tesla. What, I mean, did you feel like they were not going to be available? It was only three picks for Tate, but it was almost an entire round for Tesla. Did you feel like they wouldn't be on the board? And that's one where you just said, we got to go get our guy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And, you know, when you start getting into trade-ups, it is so much more than just, hey, we like this player, we got to go get him. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we talk about needs all the time. And, you know, the teams around the league, the teams are in front of you, the teams are behind you, you know, they have needs as well. So sometimes, you know, you really want Tate Ratledge. Yeah, you could stay patient. And, you know, it's a roll of the dice. He could be there, he could not be there. But you got to be aware of the teams behind you that could come up and get him. And then you're looking at the board, and you're looking at how many guards are available, how many teams actually still are looking to fill that need of guard. There's still teams in front of you that are looking to fill the need of guard. So you have to take all those things into account, and then especially if you have that player graded at a certain level. And that's what the case was with Tate, and that was the case with Tesla as well, is that, yes, we love the player, but when you start looking at, okay, we're at 102, and, you know, you have this player, and take away the player, like the specific player, it's just a player graded at a certain level. Maybe it's only two or three of those guys left on the entire board, and you're sitting down there at 102, and you look up, and it's like, okay, we love this player, but also there's probably about eight teams that still are looking for a wide receiver. And so you got to take all those things into account, but obviously it all starts with, you got to have conviction of the player. But when you think about, you know, past drafts, and you look into, oh, well, that's a third round pick. You guys have heard this before. Not all drafts are the same. And what I mean by that, yeah, not all drafts are the same, but also, when you look at the past, let's say, past two or three drafts, even including this one, it has not been the same depth, the depth of talent. So this year, last year, before, you don't find an Aleem McNeil in the third round. You don't find Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. Like, those guys just aren't there as of recent. So we're sitting there at 102, okay. If we stay here, we're going to be dealing with a different level of player based on our board, not on the 31 other boards, but based on our board. And so you take all that into account.
You mentioned you like the player. You're not a need guy. We know that. But you can kind of create the perfect marriage when you trade up to get a specific guy. We understand that you tried to trade up for an edge player. Can you share what goes into that process and maybe how difficult it's been to get an edge that you guys like? Not just any old edge, but a player that you guys specifically covet.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think I've said before, yeah, you can draft an edge rusher in every single round. That's easy. But the one that fits what we're looking for and hits those criteria, the pool is a lot smaller than what you would think. And so so it just has to line up. And again, if we have a player that's just rated higher, and it happens to line up, right? Like, I'll go back to the corner thing. You know, we went a few years without drafting an outside corner, and then we get Terrion Arnold and it's Rakestraw. And, well, it just lined up that we really love those players, and it happened to fit a position that we're a little thin at. The same way with the defensive tackle with Tyleek. Tyleek, we just had him rated higher than some other players at that, you know, let's call it defensive end position. But we're trying to build a football team. And when you're trying to build a football team, you're trying to get the best player. But it just happened to match up well with we were a little bit thin, you know, at the interior defensive line position as well.
How close were you to pulling the trigger on that trade for the edge to go up? And, I mean, what goes into how far you want to go up and the cost that you're willing to spend to go up and get that position?
It just depends. It just depends on where you're at. Because, you know, when I look at, you know, when you're starting to part ways with future assets specifically, you know, you have to look at it and see, okay, are you at peace with this? Are you at peace with not having that because we're going to get this specific player? But, you know, let's say we made on day two, we made two trade ups. Guys, those were two that were done out of about 30 attempts. You know, that just happened to be the two that we were able to do, but it's so many other different attempts, and it's just hard. And it's hard to sometimes find a partner because teams just don't want to go that far down. Because just like what I was talking about earlier, the further you go down, then the talent pool and the depth on that specific team's board is going to drop as well. So you have to have peace with that. But I mean, I've looked at, you know, I've thought of trading a future too, you know, for, you know, if it's the right player, you know, and if it fits, I mean, but you just have to be at peace with it.
I know you've been asked a ton about edge. Do you understand why people inundate you with the questions? Like, do you think it's a fair?
I don't understand it.
So, I mean, because you've said that the injuries are why you assume you're getting the questions. I think even before Aiden got hurt, people wanted to know about a running mate opposite Aiden just because of the lack of production on the opposite edge. So you don't see that the way that on the outside we see that.
Well, I'm curious, like, you know, you brought up Aiden Hutchinson. Would you say Aiden Hutchinson is an elite edge rusher?
Yeah.
Okay. How many elite edge rushers are in the NFL?
I'd say five or six.
Okay, I think that's fair. And obviously there's 32 teams in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually two edge rushers on the field at the same time, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now you're in, barring injury or anything, now you're talking about 64 players, right? We have one of the five or six, right? How come all of the five or six, how come it's not just one or two when you look at the whole team? Like, how come one team doesn't have two elite ones?
I don't know that the ask is.
How come another team that doesn't have two elite ones? Well, we talked about it. It's they're hard to find. They're hard to get. They're hard to acquire. But I have felt like ever since we have acquired Aiden Hutchinson, as great of a player he is, I always felt like the fan base is almost mad. Like, they're mad because we have Aiden Hutchinson. Because now he's so good. Well, why don't you have two of them? And so now it goes in that, but I have been curious.
It's never enough, right? Yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
I've been curious, the teams that have those elite five or six edge rushers in other media markets, I have been curious. Okay, we have an elite edge rusher. All we're going to ask is about edge rusher. You know what I mean? Like, and we all know who those players are. When you go to those cities and those media markets and they have an elite edge rusher, all you do is get questions about edge rusher. But you have an elite one. But all you're asking about is, well, how come you don't have another one?
Yeah, I don't know if the ask is.
And then now you get into are you trying to build a football team or are you trying to just pair? And yes, like I've said all the time, we would love to have three or four of them, but that's not reality all the time.
Yeah, I would just point out, I don't think people, I mean, we'd all love to have two elite edges. I think people just want more production than, say, you've gotten from the position in 23 and 24. From a sack standpoint, from the second end position. And if that's an area that, yeah, maybe you can't get one of the elite guys, but is there more that could be done? You've said you've tried to trade it up. So I do wonder if some of that is, you do understand where people are coming from on that level.
Well, yeah, if you bring in 24, I mean, at one point we had five injured defensive ends. So that was a little bit of an anomaly, of course. Like, when you have we got up to five that were injured, and then, oh, well, yeah, we have to find someone to finish out the season. Mm-hmm. We make the trade for Za'Darius. But and then, you know, obviously we just have been steadily improving the roster year by year. But so I do understand the attrition and the depth component of it, but again, it has to all line up as well. So it's not just, again, you can draft an edge rusher. That's easy. That we can do it every single round. We can draft one. Now, does he fit? Does he fit the requirements that we're looking for in a player? Then now that's a whole different story, because if you draft that edge rusher that's not contributing to the level that we would all like, then what's next? Oh, find another edge rusher, right?
Right.
Find another edge rusher, because that one wasn't good enough. Well, we drafted one, right? I thought that's all we needed to. I thought all we needed to do was draft one, right?
Draft a good one, Brad. That's what people are saying.
If that player's not performing, then now, or if the player's not starting, if he's a backup, if he, you know what I mean? So you got to look into all of those things. So I mean, I understand. Yes, you want more production. If you count 2024, where we had just a litany of injuries at that one position, among other spots, I can understand that with the recency bias, but. But we do have we have an elite one, and that's the only one that I kind of don't understand, is we have an elite one, but all we get asked is edge rusher.
Well, let's talk about that elite one and Aiden Hutchinson, which I don't think anybody's mad, actually, that we do have. We love him, and we want him to be here a long time. What's the sense of urgency? Do you think a deal will be done before the season takes off this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a plan in place, and, you know, I always say that we keep that in-house, because I don't think it's fair to the player or the agent to speak contractually publicly.
I did want to get your thoughts on the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Not that we anticipated that he would be on your board, but it's a huge media talking point. How did you see it as a talent evaluator, him, this perceived fall? It may not be as dramatic as an NFL evaluator would think, but what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think that's just it, is, you know, people, if I want to say, like, people have to have read the entire book, I guess, per se. And everybody has their different rankings, and especially when you get into that position. And I just believe that, you know, the teams that were in that market did not have him ranked as high as the outside world thought. And when you talk about just the outside world's rankings, they don't know, unless you got it from the GM or the head coach, which nobody would ever get, then you just don't know. So, and I just think that once you get past the second round or third round, then sometimes kind of the music kind of stops in terms of, you know, filling those starter level or future starter roles. And then you start looking into, you know, okay, well, all right, now you're in kind of the backup territory after a certain point. And then, okay, so when are you going to pick your, you know, favorite backup? So I just think that all plays in part of it. I remember back in 2020, I think 2022, I believe, that there was a clump of quarterbacks. A lot of them went in the third round, and I remember a lot of people had us linked to taking one in the first round. And I remember that, you know, we traded up for Jameson Williams, and my phone starts just blowing up about, is this the quarterback? Is this the quarterback? Is this the quarterback? And I'm like, no, it's Jameson Williams. Like, that's who it's for. And so then afterwards I was asked, okay, are you surprised that these quarterbacks slid? And I was like, well, I don't know about slid. They were taken, I think, that specific year in 22. We had them all in the third round. And so they went in the third round, and that was it. And so I just think that, man, a lot more respect has to be given for that evaluation process. It's almost like if you were a member of a book club, right, and, you know, you meet about the book, and say you've only read a chapter. Say you've only read a chapter of the book, and would you, and everybody else has read the entire book, would you go into that meeting for that book and be as convicted as, oh, this is not a good book, this is a bad book? You ain't even read the damn book. And I don't know what the first chapter of the book is. Is the first chapter the mock drafts? Is it the stats? Is it the highlights? Is it the but what I do know is that, man, what you haven't read is you hadn't pressed play and watched every single snap from the past 2 years of that player. You haven't gathered all the background. You haven't gathered all the, you know, mental makeup. You haven't gathered all the injury information. You haven't, you're not looking at a, you know what I mean? So all that stuff, that's the whole book. That's the whole book. And I'm not, I say that very respectfully, because right, I don't expect people on the outside to be even in a position to read that whole book. But it is interesting that if you were in that book club and you've only read just a chapter of it, you probably would be like, I don't know about the book because I haven't read it all. So when you talk about, like, slide, sometimes it's not a slide. Sometimes a player was taken where he was probably taken. It's just that information wasn't available to the outside.
Brad, we appreciate the perspective as always. Thanks for making some time with us this morning.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
All right, Lions General Manager Brad Holmes, 97.1.